This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This is a song that Kamala Harris has adopted for her campaign, Freedom by Beyoncé. Beyoncé has given her permission to use it. Now Donald Trump is kind of stealing it and using it. I'm sure Beyoncé's not going to be happy with that. There are a number of artists who are not happy with the music that Donald Trump is using. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. You know, generally speaking, artists, because I guess they're more liberal than they are conservative, artists in general are okay with Democrats using their theme music or using their music as themes for their campaigns, but they're not okay with the Republicans using it. And this is not a new thing. I mean, this goes way, way back. And, you know, because music is a part of my background, and I think music is a soundtrack for our lives, I've always enjoyed talking about music and politics, and that's why this show is about politics and pop culture, media opinions. But I've always been interested in the politicians who use somebody's music and they say, hey, stop using that. In many cases, there are lawsuits that are filed to stop them from using the music. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. A lot to talk about. If you're on hold, stay with us. We will get to your calls, and we've got some more text messages coming up. You know, this message that's coming from the Democrats, fight for freedom, that's a powerful message. The whole excitement from the Democratic convention, and again, if you're a Trump supporter, I understand that you're immune to the excitement. You don't have to get it. But what you should understand is that this is resonating with a lot of Americans. We'll see what the polls show after the convention. But I think there's something positive about offering hope over despair. And Donald Trump has been talking about depression. We're going into another depression. We're going into World War III. All this fear mongering is very, very negative. And, you know, Donald Trump is not where he was in the polls. And I think this is causing a lot of people to react. So we'll talk more about that coming up. So we'll get to some of your text messages as well. The Obamas brought the usual hope and unity message, but that doesn't mean that they have pulled punches when it comes to Donald Trump.
Two of the Democratic Party's biggest stars have ripped into Donald Trump. Michelle and Barack Obama echoed their messages of 16 years ago.
I'm feeling fired up.
Hope is making a comeback.
But Barack Obama revved up his attack on Trump.
Here's a 78-year-old billionaire who has not stopped whining about his problems since he rode down his golden escalator 9 years ago.
While the ex-first lady sharply moved from her 2016 message of going high when they go low.
Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black.
Turning Trump's own words against him.
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
Sagar Magani, Washington.
As First Lady, former First Lady Michelle Obama says, to take nothing for granted, and she really puts the onus of electing Kamala Harris on the voters.
They are still only human. They are not perfect. And like all of us, they will make mistakes. But luckily, y'all, this is not just on them. No, this is up to us, all of us, to be the solution that we seek. It's up to all of us to be the antidote to the darkness and division.
And she also connected the dots between Kamala Harris's family story and those of many middle-class Americans.
Her story is your story. It's my story. It's the story of the vast majority of Americans trying to build a better life. Look, Kamala knows, like we do, that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, who you love, how you worship, or what's in your bank account, we all deserve the opportunity to build a decent life.
And her husband, the former president of the United States, drove home the point that Donald Trump cannot get another 4 years in office.
We do not need four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before, and we all know that the sequel is usually worse.
The first gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, praised his wife as a contrast to the dark doom and gloom campaign that she's running against.
Kamala is a joyful warrior. It's doing for her country what she has always done for the people that she loves. Her passion will benefit all of us when she's our president. And here's the thing about joyful warriors. They're still warriors.
Donald Trump's former press secretary got a few minutes at the podium to explain why she quit and why she can't support Trump this time around.
When I was press secretary, I got skewered for never holding a White House briefing. It's because, unlike my boss, I never wanted to stand at that podium and lie. Now here I am, behind a podium, advocating for a Democrat. On January 6th, I asked Melania if we could at least tweet that while peaceful protest is the right of every American, there's no place for lawlessness or violence. She replied with one word, no. I became the first senior staffer to resign that day. I couldn't be part of the insanity any longer.
And a construction worker and three-time Trump voter from Alabama, Kyle Sweetser, says that he's had enough of Donald.
I realized Trump wasn't for me. He was for lining his own pockets. Now I'm not left-wing, period. But I believe our leaders should bring out the best in us, not the worst. That's why I'm voting for Kamala Harris. She's tough. She's going to tackle inflation. Trump will make it worse.
All right. Besides all the speeches, the Democrats, you know, took the usually boring roll call and they turned it into something, you know, far more memorable. I mean, it was kind of fun what they did with every state.
Democrats turned their convention roll call vote for a Kamala Harris into a dance party.
Are you ready?
It's usually a cheesy and, frankly, boring exercise. Not last night in Chicago.
Alabama, how do you cast your vote?
From Leonard Skinner and Alabama.
Michigan, cast!
To Michigan and Eminem. To Prince, a special song for each state.
How do you cast your vote?
California put Harris over the top with Tupac Shakur's California Love spinning.
We are so honored to be your nominees.
Harris addressed the Chicago delegates remotely from Wisconsin.
And I thank everyone there and here for believing in what we can do together.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
It was a different scene outside the arena where protests are heating up.
Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters charged a line of police in an intense standoff with hundreds of officers outside the Israeli consulate, about 2 miles away from the Democratic National Convention.
Please be into custody by the Chicago Police Department.
Protesters chanted, The protests were in stark contrast to Monday's rally, which was largely peaceful and was far below estimates of organizers who had predicted more than 20,000 people would show up. More protests are planned throughout the week. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
It was 60 years ago today that a speech at the Democratic National Convention marked a huge turning point in the civil rights movement.
In 1964, before the Credentials Committee of the Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City,
if the Freedom Democratic Party is not seated now, I question America.
Fannie Lou Hamer was a leader of the racially integrated group challenging the seating of an all-white Mississippi delegation.
Is this America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where we have to sleep with our telephones off of the hook, because our lives be threatened daily, because we want to live as decent human beings in America.
She became that voice.
Current Mississippi Congressman Benny Thompson.
Of the plight of black Mississippians.
Today, Mississippi has more black people elected proportionally than any other state.
Her legacy continues to live on.
I'm Ben Thomas.
And Trump advance are trying to get attention during the Democratic National Convention by campaigning in swing states, promising to make America safe again.
Speaking in Howell, Michigan, former President Donald Trump says crime will be out of control under a Harris administration.
Kamala Harris will deliver crime, chaos, destruction, and death. If she's allowed to be the president of the United States, you'll see levels of crime that you've never seen before.
To Wisconsin MVP candidate J.D. Vance, he brought up crime when he was asked about the Democratic convention.
The contrast between the public safety policies of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is really striking. And it's almost a joke to me that they held it in Chicago, which has become the murder capital of the United States of America, thanks to very failed Democrat leadership.
Vance called for tougher prosecutors and pledged to end what he called frivolous lawsuits against police. I'm Shelley Adler.
Hey, you know, the good news is that for a few months now, crime has gone down nationally and right here in New Orleans. Now, some people are not happy with those statistics. They want crime to be up. I think that's really tragic because, you know, as human beings, we should want crime to be down. As Americans, we should want crime to be down. But some people are just rejecting the statistics because they, I guess, don't want crime to be down. Donald Trump said something really interesting. He said that he thinks that a former president, Barack Obama, is a gentleman. He said, I like him. I think he's a nice gentleman. But he was very, very, very weak on trade. He said, if you take a look at what happened to our country trade-wise, it was a disaster. Take a look at Japan and China. Take a look at what happened in some other countries and what they did. So, you know, I'm not really up on the, the trade issue with different presidents. So I really don't want to comment on that. But I thought it was interesting that Donald Trump took time to say that he thought Barack Obama was a nice gentleman. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to get to your calls. We're also going to get to some of your text messages. The Mr. Pillow guy, Mr. CEO. I mean, this guy's like this guy is the total clown. He wants to shave his mustache off and go to the DNC incognito.
What for?
Like, dude, do you think we would not recognize that put-em of yours? We would recognize your put-em anywhere. And so he wants to shave his mustache and go to the convention incognito because he wants to find out the fraud that may be going on there. I'm going incognito. I'm going to be shaving my mustache, everybody. He said this in a Twitter video. He said, you won't recognize me. Dude, we're going to recognize you. You know, even if you kept your mustache, we might not recognize you if you weren't holding a pillow.
Yeah, you got one of your pillows under each arm? What are you doing, man?
The video was posted during a pro-Trump rally in a suburb of Chicago. Later in the video, Lindell appears to take a phone call from someone who works for CNN and asks if they would be interested in a live segment of the mustache removal.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. This please guy. Don't do it. I mean, we don't need to see that. But, yeah, he's a piece of work. Doesn't he still owe $5 million to somebody?
Yeah. He did this thing. If anybody can prove me wrong about my election fraud claims, I'll give them $5 million. And then somebody did it, and it wasn't even, like, apparently that difficult to do. And they said, well, I'm not going to give you the $5 million. And now he's getting sued for that $5 million. Like, you could have just sold millions of fancy pillows, yeah, my guy, and just retired in some beautiful mansion in Tucson. But no.
No, he was one of the ones who was in deep. I mean, he was in
he's deep.
And bet $5 million that he was right, and a guy proved him wrong. And yet, you know, there are still a few Americans clinging to that idea that the election was stolen. Now, don't be stupid like Mike Lindell and make any bets with anybody. Just hold. If you have that belief that the election was stolen, just kind of keep it to yourself. You'll be better off. All right. Here is this is interesting because the family of Isaac Hayes. Isaac Hayes was partly to he has part credit for doing the song Hold On I'm Coming by Sam and Dave, and the estate of Isaac Hayes is demanding that the Trump campaign stop playing Hold On I'm Coming because they don't want him to, because nothing in their family is represented by anything that Donald Trump stands for. So really, you know, I mean, Donald Trump should go through the copyright process like everybody else. He shouldn't break the rules, and he shouldn't break the laws when it comes to copyrighted material. He should not play it, but I would think that he might continue playing it. Anyway, they're going to try to get him to stop. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the freedom. We're going to fight for the freedom. We're going to be positive. We're going to talk about hope. Is that going to work against the message of despair? I think it's going to resonate with a lot of Americans. I'm Scoot on the Air. Jesse Waters on Fox News. I mean, I think this is another sign of desperation on the part of some Trump supporters. Jesse Waters, after Obama spoke, he's well, I guess he did it before Obama spoke last night, but he's bringing up the birther conspiracy again. Like, where was Donald Trump born? And he said something to the effect of, I vow, this was last night, I vow to, quote, get the truth about former President Barack Obama's birth certificate after the Democrats' rousing speech at the Democratic National Convention. He vows to get to the truth. I guess he was on after the speech because they've covered a lot of the convention on Fox News, which kind of surprised me. I think it's good that they do. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should give Jesse Waters a break. Maybe he doesn't know that Hawaii is part of the United States because it's so far out there. Maybe he doesn't think that it's part of the U.S. I don't know. Let's go to Julie in Metairie. Julie, you're on WWL.
Hello. Yes. I just have a couple of things to say.
Of course.
Okay. The other day I called and you said that everything I said was opinions. Well, I just want to state that everything I said and more than I'm going to say now is fact. You keep bringing up, what about Pence? Well, everybody knows that Kamala was a senator in California. And she had policies, and the policies are open borders, free health care for illegals on Americans' money, death row inmates to vote, eliminate private health care, abolish ICE, Green New Deal, which will probably bankrupt the country, support Minnesota for bail fund, defund police, also, you keep saying that lies that Trump's saying. Well, right out of Kamala's mouth a year ago when she was asked on CNN, are the borders secure? She says, oh, yes, we have a secure border. Really? It's in history, it's a fact. The most illegal immigrants have come to our country with the but Biden and Harris and the administration, their administration. Also, you keep talking about doom and gloom. That's true. There's a crisis right now in our country. And it is doom and gloom for many people. Maybe not you, because you already said that you're doing fine. Well, you're a single man, probably can get Social Security. You have a job. You're not a family with three kids trying to get groceries. You think the Democrats are going to talk about anything but hope when they're the ones that caused this? Let's be serious, Scoot. So I think you need to state some of this stuff. Evidently, you don't.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. And please, don't hang up on me while you're stating what you have to say, because I might have to come back and say something.
Julie, I'm not going to...
You do that a lot, too.
Yeah, you don't allow me to talk, so I'm not going to have a conversation with you. I'm going to let you express...
No, go ahead.
I'm not going to do it. You've already proven to me that
you... You don't know what to say.
You see,
you don't know what to say.
You see, Julie, you're proving my point. You don't... You want to keep interrupting.
I'm proving your point.
Thank you, Julie.
You don't know what to say. You're not going to talk because you don't know what to say.
Julie, have a great day. I mean, I really hope you can find it in your life to have a great day. Even in trying to explain that she won't let me have a conversation, she will talk over me. She's talking over me. Every time I try to explain, well, this is why I don't... Well, and this is the problem that some people have. They want to talk over you because they don't want you to react to what they're saying because they're afraid you might make sense.
You know, Julie did rattle off a lot of like pretty untasteful progressive policies that Kamala Harris has been connected to over the years, especially during her time as a senator. And as a nation, we can and will have a conversation about that. But Julie started out the conversation today accusing you of being misleading about Kamala's record as vice president. Which
exactly.
is a very different thing.
Exactly. And that was my first point. That's the first thing I wrote down when Julie was talking. The issue has been, and I think this has been a mandate from right-wing radicals. This is the rhetoric. Attack her on her policies as vice president. She's been there for 4 years. What has she done? And man, people like Julie, it's like, man, that's like a great lure. And she's the fish with the big mouth that bites on it. So it's about her policy as vice president? No, who was the talk show host in New Orleans who said before Kamala Harris was even in this position, who said before Joe Biden even resigned, who said that Kamala Harris was one of the most liberal senators in the Senate? It was me. I said that more than once. So, okay, the next thing, defund the police. That is something that is really misunderstood. There are a lot of people who want to defund the police. And I have to be honest with you, I don't know if Kamala Harris wanted to cut all spending to police or this comes under the title of defunding the police. There are people who thought if money can be spent in an area where it prevents young people from becoming criminals in the first place, then maybe we should take some funds and allocate it to that. But that's not defunding the police in the way that right-wing radicals want you to believe. If we can have a program or if we can try to stop young people from becoming criminals and use money that police departments have, because there are police departments that inevitably, there's waste. I mean, come on, there's waste in every government agency. And police are part of the government. So I'm sure there's waste and some money could be allocated to different programs. So as far as her specifics, I don't know. But the idea of defunding the police to where there's no police, there are a few people who adhere to that extreme idea, but it's an extreme idea that is not shared by very many people. As far as a secure border is concerned, I agree. We need a secure border. But this border problem has been building long before Donald Trump came down the escalator. This has been a crisis for a very long time. It got worse under Biden. And Kamala Harris never actually appointed as border czar. That was a label given to her by the media. But she was supposed to go to other countries to try to find out what could be done to make life better there so people don't want to come here. That's a noble cause. I don't know if she did it. So there are still things. And what talk show host in New Orleans has constantly said, we don't know everything about Kamala Harris, and she is going to be nailed for a lot of her liberal policies. If she's changing, then she's going to have to convince us that she's changed in the same way that Donald Trump changed from being pro-life, being pro-choice to pro-life. Donald Trump was pro-choice. Donald Trump was a Democrat. Donald Trump changed. So there is obviously tolerance for politicians changing. I'm simply saying, in terms of doom and gloom, that you could have this pessimistic view. Look, you and I know people who are negative. They thrive on being negative. I stay away from those people. I'm not going to be friends with anybody who is negative all the time. But there are people who it's in their DNA to be negative. There are people who it's in their DNA to look at two things. And both of those things, they're going to find the negative, not the positive. Some things, I guess, maybe there's not even a positive. But all I'm saying is that the positive image of hope and freedom over doom and gloom and despair is probably going to work to some degree. And if I were a hardcore Trump supporter, I would be encouraging Donald Trump to shut up about the insults, to shut up about a lot of this stuff, and to start focusing on positive things that he is going to do when he's president. And this idea of, oh, let's just make America great again. Okay, well, that sounds really good, but how the hell are you going to do it? Why are prices going to go down as soon as you get to be elected? Why is that going to happen? But as Donald Trump himself said, I can lie, and as long as I say the same thing over and over and over again, these people are going to believe it. And when I say these people, I mean you people. Those people who are the die-hard supporters of Donald Trump. And these people who continue to not know how to pronounce her name, Kamala Back Harris, or her name is Kamala Harris. It's Kamala Harris. But it seems like a lot of people are going out of their way to say Kamala. It's Kamala Harris. Now, you can mispronounce it if you want, but, you know, we try to get those things correct on the show. But, listen, it's interesting how I get criticized for not saying things and addressing things that I've actually said and actually addressed. So why is there this desperation? If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. There was a lot of doom and gloom in the mid-60s. And on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar, this song was released on this day in 1965. It speaks to the doom and gloom in America at the time. And look, I'm simply making this observation, and I've been doing this for a minute or two. I'm making the observation that the positive hope and freedom message from the Democrats is going to resonate with a lot of people who are not diehard Trump supporters. And those are the people who need to vote for Trump if you want Trump to be the next president. I'm Scoot. We're going to continue with more of this song coming out of the next break. It's called Eve of Destruction, and it speaks of the doom and gloom and despair that people felt in 1965. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, here's a little more of Eve of Destruction. All right, here are a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Will the Dems message, it's a blog that I wrote that is just posted there, and you can comment on this. Will the Dems message of hope beat Trump's message of despair? Jay says, no hope, no prosperity. Voting for Harris, the economy is in the toilet now. Let's see. Robert says, by the way, on the subject of messages of despair, hard to top Alex Wagner of MSNBC talking about the white patriarchy of Trump and his supporters. Your media, ladies and gentlemen. And let's see. Perry says, what you won't see at the Democratic National Convention is an attractive woman. Haven't seen one yet. Well, so the only thing important to you is attractive women? I thought Stephanie Grisham, who was a former Trump press secretary, a spokesperson, I thought she was pretty attractive. Pink's going to be there tonight. I think she's pretty attractive. But, for example, if I say that the news anchors on Fox News are better looking than the female news anchors on CNN, you know, I would be criticized for that because it would seem like all I care about is looks. So if really all you care about is looks, that's on you. Let's go to Paul in Michigan. Paul, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Well, before I get to my point, I got to let you know something. I've been on hold for 54 minutes and 13 seconds now. And it's okay with me.
I appreciate that.
It, That was in reference to it. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't get to everybody.
So a friend
right
of mine
away.
And I quit talk.
Thanks.
A friend of mine and I quit communicating about 7 years ago, and it was all over politics. And I've known him for decades. I used to take his kids fishing when they were 5, 6, 7.
It's sad.
About a year ago, I just sent him a message, said I'm going to be in his neighborhood in a couple of weeks and wanted to know if he wanted to go fishing. And I just got a one-word response. Sure. Ever since then, we've been communicating and laughing about old times.
Well,
and
good.
Anytime he brings up politics, I have the same response. How about them Cubs? If he goes on, I just remain silent. And he kind of giggles and moves on, and we're fine.
Yeah, if you ignore people who constantly talk about politics, eventually they'll be quiet. Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that or whisper. Try whispering. That works sometimes, too.
Paul, listen, I appreciate the call.
All right, man.
Thanks for hanging on so long. Thanks for listening to our show in Michigan. Let's go to Bob and Harahan. Bob, welcome to the show, and thank you for hanging on.
No, you're welcome. I get a kick out of your far left radio program here, knocking Trump, knocking Republicans, Republican people.
I'm not knocking Trump or Republicans. I'm just talking about things that are happening.
Your whole show is about that.
That's not true.
It definitely is. And the border, who was in charge of the border is Kamala Harris. So what has she done that you can report on to improve that? Nothing. Biden said surge to the border. His words, come on in.
All right, Bob, let me ask you a question, Bob. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have denounced the Biden administration for the handling of the border. I've said it's a crisis. I've said it's gotten worse under Biden than it was under Trump, even though it's been a crisis for a long time. I do not want illegals in this country to just come pouring across the border. I have a different opinion of some illegal immigrants who are technically illegal, but they're contributing to our country. But I have denounced efforts by the Biden administration to deal with the border. What else would you like me to do?
Well, I'd like you to tell the people the truth.
Well, I just said that. What do you want
the
me to do? I have been, what I just told you, I've been talking about this for months and months and years. So what is it that you would like me to do?
You haven't been talking. You've been a disc jockey.
Oh, Bob, listen, Bob. I've been talking about what I just told you.
In this country.
Bob, go ahead and make a comment. Make a comment, and then I'm going to move on.
Border in the last 3.5 years has become a dire crisis.
I agree.
In this country.
I agree. What the hell do you want me to do, Bob? What do you want me to do? I agree.
The border was closed before Biden got in.
Bob.
And Ms. Harris.
I agree.
Charge of the border.
I agree. The border is a crisis, Bob. And she's not in charge of the border. You don't understand. You've been brainwashed by right-wing rhetoric. I'm sorry, Bob, but what do you want me to do? You don't have an answer for it because I've done exactly what you're saying I'm not doing. I have talked about the border. I have criticized the Biden administration for the border. What do you want me to do? I'm not a branch of government. I can't pass laws. I can't sign laws. I can't sign bills into law. And I can't interpret the laws. I'm not one of the branches of government. So what the hell do you want me to do? If you want to join us, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2015, the Westboro Baptist Church, famous for their anti-gay demonstrations, staged a protest before a Foo Fighters concert in Kansas City. The band responded by pulling up a truck right in front of the demonstration, and they Rick-rolled them with Rick Astley's song, Never Gonna Give You Up. And David Grohl said, we figured that, you know, this is the best way to get back at those people by effing Rick rolling them, and so they did it. The Westboro Baptist Church is anything but a Christian church. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1993, John Denver blew a .14 when his Porsche was pulled over in Aspen, Colorado. The legal limit was .10. He pleaded guilty to driving while impaired, sentenced to 28 hours of community service, including performing a benefit concert for the Tipsy Taxi Service in Aspen. You know, that shouldn't count. You know, doing a concert shouldn't count as community service. Now, that guy should be picking up trash. Well, of course, he's dead now. Obviously, John Denver was quite a little rebel. Hey, we'll continue the show. A lot more coming up next on WWL. All right, here's a little more of Eve of Destruction. All right, here are a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Will the Dems message, it's a blog that I wrote that is just posted there, and you can comment on this. Will the Dems message of hope beat Trump's message of despair? Jay says, no hope, no prosperity. Voting for Harris, the economy is in the toilet now. Let's see. Robert says, by the way, on the subject of messages of despair, hard to top Alex Wagner of MSNBC talking about the white patriarchy of Trump and his supporters. Your media, ladies and gentlemen. And let's see. Perry says, what you won't see at the Democratic National Convention is an attractive woman. Haven't seen one yet. Well, so the only thing important to you is attractive women? I thought Stephanie Grisham, who was a former Trump press secretary, a spokesperson, I thought she was pretty attractive. Pink's going to be there tonight. I think she's pretty attractive. But, for example, if I say that the news anchors on Fox News are better looking than the female news anchors on CNN, you know, I would be criticized for that because it would seem like all I care about is looks. So if really all you care about is looks, that's on you. Let's go to Paul in Michigan. Paul, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Well, before I get to my point, I got to let you know something. I've been on hold for 54 minutes and 13 seconds now. And it's okay with me.
I appreciate that.
That was in reference to it. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't get to everybody
so a friend
right
of mine
away.
And I quit talk.
Thanks.
A friend of mine and I quit communicating about 7 years ago. And it was all over politics. And I've known him for decades. I used to take his kids fishing when they were 5, 6, 7.
It's sad.
About a year ago, I just sent him a message, said I'm going to be in his neighborhood in a couple of weeks and wanted to know if he wanted to go fishing. And I just got a one-word response. Sure. Ever since then, we've been communicating and laughing about old times.
Well,
and
good.
Anytime he brings up politics, I have the same response. How about them Cubs? If he goes on, I just remain silent. And he kind of giggles and moves on, and we're fine.
Yeah, if you ignore people who constantly talk about politics, eventually they'll be quiet. Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that or whisper. Try whispering. That works sometimes, too.
Paul, listen, I appreciate the call.
All right, man.
Thanks for hanging on so long. Thanks for listening to our show in Michigan. Let's go to Bob and Harahan. Bob, welcome to the show, and thank you for hanging on.
No, you're welcome. I get a kick out of your far left radio program here, knocking Trump, knocking Republicans, Republican people.
I'm not knocking Trump or Republicans. I'm just talking about things that are happening.
Are. Your whole show is about that.
That's not true.
It definitely is. And the border, who was in charge of the border is Kamala Harris. So what has she done that you can report on to improve that? Nothing. Biden said, surge to the border. His words, come on in.
All right, Bob, let me ask you a question, Bob. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have denounced the Biden administration for the handling of the border. I've said it's a crisis. I've said it's gotten worse under Biden than it was under Trump, even though it's been a crisis for a long time. I do not want illegals in this country to just come pouring across the border. I have a different opinion of some illegal immigrants who are technically illegal, but they're contributing to our country. But I have denounced efforts by the Biden administration to deal with the border. What else would you like me to do?
Well, I'd like you to tell the people the truth.
Well, I just said that.
No, you didn't.
What do you want
the
me to do? I haven't. What I just told you, I've been talking about this for months and months and years. So, what is it that you would like me to do?
You hadn't been talking. You've been a disc jockey.
Oh, Bob, listen, Bob. I've been talking about what I just told you.
In this country.
Bob, go ahead and make a comment. Go ahead, no, make a comment, and then I'm going to move on.
The border in the last 3.5 years has become a dire crisis.
I agree.
In this country.
I agree. What the hell do you want me to do, Bob? What do you want me to do? I agree.
The border was closed before Biden got in.
Bob.
And Ms. Harris.
I agree.
In charge of the border.
I agree the border is a crisis, Bob. And she's not in charge of the border. You don't understand. You've been brainwashed by right-wing rhetoric. I'm sorry, Bob, but what do you want me to do? You don't have an answer for it because I've done exactly what you're saying I'm not doing. I have talked about the border. I have criticized the Biden administration for the border. What do you want me to do? I'm not a branch of government. I can't pass laws. I can't sign laws. I can't sign bills into law. And I can't interpret the laws. I'm not one of the branches of government. So what the hell do you want me to do? If you want to join us, the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2015, the Westboro Baptist Church, famous for their anti-gay demonstrations, staged a protest before a Foo Fighters concert in Kansas City. The band responded by pulling up a truck right in front of the demonstration, and they Rick-rolled them with Rick Astley's song, Never Gonna Give You Up. And David Grohl said, we figured that, you know, this is the best way to get back at those people by effing Rick rolling them, and so they did it. The Westboro Baptist Church is anything but a Christian church. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1993, John Denver blew a .14 when his Porsche was pulled over in Aspen, Colorado. The legal limit was .10. He pleaded guilty to driving while impaired, sentenced to 28 hours of community service, including performing a benefit concert for the Tipsy Taxi Service in Aspen. You know, that shouldn't count. You know, doing a concert shouldn't count as community service. Now, that guy should be picking up trash. Well, of course, he's dead now. Obviously, John Denver was quite a little rebel. Hey, we'll continue the show. A lot more coming up next on WWL.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.